The summaries this week contain two cases on civil procedure, one from the Arkansas Supreme Court and one from the Arkansas Court of Appeals. In Middlebrooks v. Graves, 2022 ARC 107, the Arkansas Supreme Court, in dismissing without prejudice for failure to effect service within 120 days, rejected arguments that service on the state's attorney general effectively served all defendants. Justice Wynn explained. James Middlebrooks appeals from an order of the circuit court that dismissed his declaratory judgment and mandamus action because Middlebrooks had failed to provide proof that service of process was perfected with respect to the two named defendants pursuant to Rule 4I1 of the Arkansas Rules of Civil Procedure. The circuit court dismissed the complaint without indicating whether the dismissal was with or without prejudice. However, when service is not made on a defendant within 120 days of the filing of the complaint, a circuit court must dismiss the action without prejudice to refiling those claims. McCullough v. Kelly, 2018, ARC 78. End of quote. The service requirements are not collectively satisfied by service on the Attorney General. Quote, here, the record indicates that the petition for declaratory and mandamus relief is Middlebrooks' first such petition, and he may refile the petition and perfect service of process in accordance with the Arkansas Rules of Civil Procedure. Middlebrooks insists on appeal that he had perfected service in accordance with the rules, but there is no proof that service was perfected within the required time frame. Further, Middlebrooks claims that a copy of a returned certified mail receipt addressed to the Arkansas Attorney General is proof of timely service of process in his civil action, suggesting that service of process on the office of the Arkansas Attorney General is equal to service on the named defendants. He is mistaken. The Attorney General's office is a separate constitutional office, not merely an arm of the executive branch. The Attorney General's office represents the agencies and departments of the state only when its services are needed and the request for services has been certified by the agency to the Attorney General. In sum, the Attorney General is not an agent for service of process for state agencies as assumed by Middlebrooks. Furthermore, Rule 4 makes clear that service of process shall be made on the individual officers and employees of a government entity that have been named in a civil action. End of quote. End of decision. The second civil procedure case is from the Arkansas Court of Appeals, Nichols v. Swindoll, 2022 ARC App 233. The Arkansas Court of Appeals affirmed an order that dismissed a legal malpractice complaint because it failed to specifically plead facts to constitute fraudulent concealment. Judge Kleppenbach wrote, appellate Rebecca Nichols appeals the dismissal of her legal malpractice lawsuit that she filed against her attorneys, appellees James Swindoll and Chuck Gibson. The circuit court granted the attorney's motion to dismiss, which asserted that any negligence claim was barred by the applicable 3-year statute of limitations and that Nichols failed to adequately plead that the attorneys fraudulently concealed their malpractice. Nichols argues that it was erroneous to dismiss her complaint because her attorneys fraudulently concealed their malpractice from her, which told the statute of limitations. We affirm. The statute of limitations for legal malpractice negligence actions is 3 years, and absent concealment, it begins to run upon the occurrence of the wrong. Fraud suspends the running of the statute of limitations, and the suspension remains in effect until the party having the cause of action discovers the fraud or should have discovered it by the exercise of reasonable diligence. In order to toll the statute of limitations, the fraud perpetrated must be concealed. Fraudulent concealment consists of some positive act of fraud, something so furtively planned and secretly executed as to keep the plaintiff's cause of action concealed or perpetrated in a way that conceals itself. Accordingly, not only must there be fraud, but the fraud must also be furtively planned and secretly executed so as to keep the fraud concealed. The statute is told only when the ignorance is produced by affirmative and fraudulent acts of concealment. Therefore, to rebut a limitations defense, a plaintiff must describe specific fraudulent acts committed for the purpose of concealing a cause of action. The allegations made in Nichols's complaint do not describe any overt act to hide information from Nichols or any fraudulent concealment of the alleged malpractice. Instead, the allegations make sweeping conclusions about what Nichols believed her attorney's intentions were as they proceeded with litigation in the underlying case. We hold that Nichols filed her legal malpractice lawsuit beyond the 3-year statute of limitations, and that Nichols failed to sufficiently plead affirmative acts of fraudulent concealment of the alleged January 2018 legal malpractice. End of quote, end of decision.